This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's just after 12 o'clock. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Arvini Branch.
And Christine Wong.
It's almost like us three are always together all the time.
Yes.
Wow.
Somehow, yeah, somehow,
someway. What a coincidence.
Very strange. Of course, we're still on split shifts, like most people out there, of course. Things are not changing as fast as we'd like, but, you know, everybody's staying safe, and we're keeping clean, and we're doing all of that sanitization stuff, washing our hands, wearing our masks, doing all of the good things. Have you guys been over the last few days?
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Very
good.
Like WFH good.
You, Christine?
Yeah, feeling productive.
Productive, huh? Well, okay, we've got a question for you guys that we'll be talking about today, of course, and it's based on the announcement that we had just a few days ago, of course. The PENJANA, the Economic Recovery Plan, which was is going to focus on three main components: to empower the people, to propel businesses, and to stimulate the economy. That's then broken down into four areas. Those four areas, the four main thrusts, are reducing unemployment, ensuring affordability, digitalization, and consumer confidence. Those are the options that we've given you on the poll that we're running regarding the question of those four main thrusts, which would be most beneficial for you. We've had around 100 votes so far, and as of now, around 40-something percent are saying reducing unemployment, with 30-something percent saying ensuring affordability. Digitalization is up there around 15 and a bit percent, and consumer confidence is something that's, you know, fourth on the list. Of course, that's the topic that Arv will be tackling today amongst the discussion that we'll be having, of course. Then we're moving on to...
Our masks being massively marked up following a lawsuit that 3M is doing.
And then we're wrapping up, of course, with story number three, which is all about how 700,000 people rushed to download the app, which is my Sajatra, because once you've downloaded it, you get a 50 ringgit e-wallet credit.
Wow.
You know, remember when there was a 30 ringgit e-wallet credit that was announced not too long ago? There wasn't quite so much of a rush then.
Yeah, so that happened in like stages and stuff. But it got me into using e-wallets.
It did indeed.
I will admit, yeah.
And now you've got like 50 on your phone, right?
Sure, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right, kick us off then, Arv, the pros and cons of PENJANA.
Yeah, so the National Economic Recovery Plan, or PENJANA, was unveiled by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin on Friday, June 5th. So a lot of people had a lot of time over the weekend to sort of dissect it and look into it and see how it could work for the population and how it's not working so much for the population and give their feedback. It is themed Building the Economy Together, as you mentioned. It's a short-term plan aimed at strengthening the country's economy, which has also been affected by the global COVID-19 pandemic. PENJANA features 40 key initiatives worth 35 billion to boost sustainable economic recovery, 10 billion of which is a fiscal injection from the government. Three main thrusts of PENJANA: empower people, propel business, and stimulate the economy. So I'm just going to run through some of the key sections of PENJANA itself. Obviously, we can't do all because it's a long
We don't have time for 40 initiatives.
So some of the key ones, or the most important ones, 9 billion ringgit will be channeled through various initiatives to tackle unemployment and into to ensure job sustainability, which is expected to benefit 3 million workforces in the country. 2 billion ringgit for an upskilling program to assist those unemployed with youths to benefit more than 200,000 people in the country. 75 million ringgit to promote the gig economy. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, sort of supporting the gig economy. 25 million to MDEC for the Global Online Workforce or GLOW program to train Malaysians to earn income from serving international clients while working from home or working online from home. 30 ringgit for each user to enjoy unlimited monthly travel pass on all services by Prasarana. So this is something that I, so for those who don't know, I used to take the LRT and the MRT to work sometime last year, the first half of the year, and I enjoyed it because they had the 100 ringgit pass. So I just, you pay once and you get to use all their services, and it was like a gold mine. You know, it's like, why not? And now for 30 ringgit, I think if you want to boost that sector again, this is good. Because that is cheap. 30 bucks to use all of their services, MRT, LRT, the monorail, and their buses, I think will be a big boost for them, especially because a lot of people wouldn't want to take public transport because of COVID-19.
I mean, that's going to be the issue that I'm looking at. You know, it's okay. It's a great initiative, 30 ringgit to use it all. Mm. But we've been telling people for months and months and months to socially distance.
Yeah.
You know, and now I see it as an encouragement, but is it enough of an encouragement to get people on these services?
And also, when they are on these services, I hope that they are themselves enforcing physical distancing, because you know, we're very good at telling people what to do and not great at the follow through.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, a lot of people have said that there is a lot of crowd control. There's a lot of, like, you know, hygiene stuff going on, a lot of sanitization and all. It's only a matter of, will they keep doing this, or are they gonna, you know, is it gonna like taper off after a month? So I guess we'll have to see. Continuing on, so 1 billion ringgit tourism financing scheme, which is huge. 400 million ringgit for Punjana microfinancing program with the cooperation of Bank Simpanan National and Tekun National, 50 million of which earmarked for women entrepreneurs, 100 million for the National Technology and Innovation Sandbox to encourage innovation and creativity that can propel the digitalization of service delivery, and a few more. The government will credit 50 ringgit worth of e-wallet credits. That's the one you mentioned before. And also stamp duty exemption on the instruments of transfer and loan agreement for purchase of residential homes. The government is also giving 100% tax exemption on sales of locally assembled passenger cars, 50% for imported passenger cars from June 15 to December 31st, 2020, to boost the automotive industry. So yeah, those are some of the huge ones.
I mean, we're going to have to wrap up in a sec, but this encouraging domestic spending is great. You know, allocating 70 million ringgit under the Shop Malaysia Online campaign to be used for e-commerce promo codes and discount vouchers. That's going to be matched by the e-commerce sites with their own promotions.
Oh, yeah.
Whole bunch of stuff we can talk about in just a few moments, though, but we have to take a break with some music. We've got the Black Keys up next with... What? I cannot read that.
Go!
Go! It's go! Of course, we have our guest also up next. His name is...
Saravana Kumar. He is a tax lawyer.
There you go. That's all coming up in just a few moments, where we're asking you of the four main thrusts that the Penjana Initiative focuses on, which would be the most beneficial for you. Let us know. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Books, figurines, movies. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yavraj
and Christine Wong.
We've got a question for you, and the question is, of the four main thrusts that the Penjana Initiative focused on, which would be the most beneficial for you? The four options are reducing unemployment, ensuring affordability, digitalization, or consumer confidence. The numbers as they stand are...
Reduce unemployment is highest at 41.8%, ensure affordability 34.7%, digitalization at 15.3%, and consumer confidence at 8.2%.
What's your thoughts on this, Christine? The numbers that we've got so far?
I think they surprised me. I expected a lot more people to be focusing on digitalization, especially because the MCO has really proven that that is a massive priority for a lot of businesses. But I'm also sitting here like, you know, the issue of unemployment, as I believe Jeff Audrey and Frida talked about last week, you know, is a massive, massive issue. So I'm not surprised that that is leading the poll at the moment.
All right. Not just on our point. So we've got somebody who's going to give us a bit of a highlight, or rather a bit more of a discussion as to what their thoughts are about this.
Yeah, so we got in touch with Saravana Kumar, who's on the line with us. He's a tax lawyer and a partner of the Rosli Dalan Saravana Partnership Law Firm. And we wanted to get his thoughts and sort of his opinions on Penjana as an initiative. So, you know, Saravana, what are your initial thoughts on Penjana as a way to boost the economy and get businesses back on track in the short term?
Many governments around the world are still grappling on how to manage the spread of COVID-19 pandemic. But having said that, in Malaysia, we are very fortunate that the government has managed to bring or control the spread of the virus quite well. And we can see from the reduced rate of infection. And more importantly, they have started into focusing in rebuilding the economy. In this context, Penjana, for me, is certainly a step in the right direction. It is a short-term measure that introduces or pushes another RM 35 billion ringgit into the economy. Penjana shouldn't be seen in isolation. It should be seen as something to supplement the previous economic stimulus packages announced by the government. The government must also address the issue of increase in cost of living quickly. This is a major concern raised by many, including by the trade unions. So far, the government uses the anti-profiteering law to go after businesses who raise the price of goods and services indiscriminately. However, I am of the view that a more effective enforcement of the anti-profiteering law is needed in Malaysia.
Right, and what would you say are some of the strongest points of Penjana that can be utilised by the business sector and Malaysians in general to help them recover in the coming months?
The most attractive part of the Penjana package for me would be the tax incentives. The Ministry of Finance has put forward 22 tax initiatives, which I am very happy to see that the key sectors are being addressed. And among others, the government has given a wide range of tax incentives to foreign investors who intend to invest in Malaysia or intend to relocate their businesses into Malaysia. A very generous tax holiday scheme is being announced, and it ranges between 5 to 15 years depending on the amount of investment and the nature of the investor. The tourism sector has been given the much needed boost. The government's announcement to waive service tax for accommodation operators and the related services provided therein, and also the waiver of tourism tax, would certainly make the cost of travelling within Malaysia much cheaper. Accommodation becomes more affordable because tourists do not have to pay the additional 6% service tax. And the 1,000 ringgit personal relief given to individual taxpayers for domestic travel, I hope would encourage Malaysians to travel to local tourist destinations in the next few months to come. And hopefully it will also help to boost the tourism sector. It is also encouraging that the rebate for rental waiver or reduction is being extended further. It will certainly make lives much easier for the SME industry who do not have to pay rent for the next few more months, subject to their landlord allowing them to do so. The interesting feature of this particular tax incentive was the granting of rebate for flexible work arrangement, where both employees enjoy exemption from the tax perquisite position, and also for employers who are given tax deduction for expenses incurred in relation to making available flexible work environment to the employees.
Now, Saravana, those are some, you know, pretty strong points. But what about on the flip side? What about the weak points or the weak links in the initiatives that could be improved? And maybe you have some suggestions about how they could be amended?
There are a number of things still missing, which we hope the government will consider. They are keeping the consultation opportunities open. And in this regard, I would like to again urge the government to consider allowing double tax deduction for financing expenses incurred by businesses, especially SMEs, in rebuilding their business. Borrowing costs such as bank guarantee fees, arranger fee, commitment fee, and so on should be given double tax deduction in order to further facilitate the growth of our economy. Likewise, the online trading sector is a key part of the economy now, given that we are observing social distancing and so on. In this regard, it'll be good if the government can consider removing the withholding tax requirement for foreign services obtained or performed in Malaysia, and also to waive the requirement to subject imported services to service tax in Malaysia. It is important that the government makes the online services cheaper so that it addresses the cost issue for overall Malaysians. It would have been good if the government had taken a stand not to conduct any form of tax audit or customs audit for the next 3 to 6 months, and also not to pursue any form of court action against taxpayers for the same period of 3 to 6 months. It is simply because to allow taxpayers to use the next few months to focus on their business, to get their business back into order, so that the resources that they have, both in terms of time, money and manpower are not spent on addressing the tax queries by the tax authorities, but to focus on their business. Once this grace period is over, then the Income Tax Department and Customs may resume their audit and investigation work.
Finally, Saravana, what would be the biggest challenge for the government in implementing Panjana with optimum effect in the coming months?
Challenge for the government would be ensuring the implementation of the Panjana scheme successfully. In this regard, the government must take concerted effort to reduce bureaucracy and ensure all the benefits, including all the financial packages announced, reach the rakyat and the targeted sectors quickly. Existing anti-profiteering law does not have remedies such as restitution, compounding, requirement for notice of apology or regret, and also the right for the government to issue composite or best judgment assessment in cases where anti-profiteering is identified, but the actual number of high profit cannot be established. In this kind of circumstances, the government must have the power to raise a composite assessment in order to ensure that the business does not get away based on technical reasons.
Yeah, so a lot of points there from Saravana Kumar, who is a tax lawyer and a partner of the Rosli Dalan Saravana Partnership Law Firm. Just helping us, I guess, make sense of the Panjana initiative that was announced on Friday.
Yeah, the theme, of course, is building the economy together. 35 billion ringgit allocated to Panjana, where 10 billion will be in the form of direct fiscal injection from the government to ensure the 40 initiatives under the plan can be realised. Panjana is in stage 4 of Malaysia's COVID-19 journey, focusing on short-term economic recovery for the nation. There are 6 stages altogether. They are called the 6R. Resolve, resilience, restart, recovery, revitalize, and reform. There you go. We do have more stories lined up for you shortly, of course, but we are asking you a question. Christine is now holding her head because I did the whole pirate thing there. Now, the question, of course, is it's about, of the 4 main thrusts that the Panjana Initiative focuses on, which would be most beneficial for you? Do let us know. Reducing unemployment, ensuring affordability, digitalization, or consumer confidence. Let us know. You can also get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We've got around 100 votes. Let's see if we can double that before the show wraps up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Let us know what you think. Music up next from The Pretenders. Don't Get Me Wrong here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.